Welcome to the Podcast at the Hill. You are about to hear a message from our guest speaker, Wayne Hudson, entitled Marriage by the Book, from our family series.
Thank you, choir. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of the cross. Lord, I thank you for a great time of worship through music. And I pray as we open up your word that we continue to worship because you are worthy of our worship. Lord, I pray that through the power of your spirit that you take your word and you speak directly to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'd leave changed people today. Not because we sang a song, not because some guy preached, but because we've been in the presence of Jesus. Lord, you do in us today what we cannot do for ourselves. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you today. I appreciate the opportunity to be in South Alabama and have the opportunity just to open up the Word of God. Had a great day yesterday. Enjoyed the fellowship last night with Daniel and Shay and their kids. And thankful for the privilege to share with you this morning. We are going to talk about marriage today. We're going to preach on marriage, a message entitled Marriage by the Book. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and find verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. And while you're turning there, just a couple of things about marriage that I think that we need to understand, that you know as well as I do that in our nation, marriage is under attack. The family is under attack. Statistics show that over half of the marriages in our country end in divorce. And the sad statistic shows in the church, it's not a whole lot different. But statistic that you may not know, that when a couple prays together, when they dive in the Word together, that statistic drastically changes. Can I tell you, there's power in the Word of God. And we need to be couples who believe the truth of God's Word and allow God through the Spirit to flesh out His Word in and through our lives individually and as a couple. Because can I tell you, God wants to use my marriage and your marriage to bring Him much, much glory. So what we're going to look at today is just, we're going to look at some ways biblically that a man is to love his wife and some ways that the wife is to love the husband. So Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin with verse 20 because it's something I want you to see here. In verse 20, it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of the Lord. Just to comment on that. Can I tell you that it says always give thanks in everything? That includes my marriage. And then it says to be subject to one another in fear of the Lord. Can I tell you that we both need to walk in submission to Jesus? Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But the church is subject to Christ, so wives also ought to be to their husband in everything. Husband, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. But we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I'm preaching with reverence to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his wife even as himself, and the wife is to see to it that she respects her husband. Now, in that passage, it talks about how that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. You know, in that passage, it does not say that a wife is to love her husband. It doesn't say it there. You go to the book of Colossians, the passage on marriage and family. It does not say in that passage that a wife is to love her husband. But you're not off the hook, because in Titus chapter 2, it says that older women are to mentor younger women on how to love their husbands. So you got to love him. But it says that they're to respect their husband. See, there's an important principle here. As much as women need to be loved, men need to be respected. Ladies, as much as you need to be loved, your man needs to know that you respect him. So real quick, five ways biblically that a man is to love his wife. The first one is this. The first one is simply with an esteeming love. An esteeming love. To brag on your wife. To be thankful for your wife. You know, one of the things that I noticed throughout Scripture, that as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I need to be willing to brag on Jesus, right? I need to be thankful for what he has done for me and unashamedly testify to the fact of what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do in and through my life. Jesus is worth bragging on. But so is my God-given helpmate. I need to brag on Tina. Guys, listen to me. You need to brag on your wife. The best thing that ever happened to you was Jesus. But I don't know about you, but me, the second best thing that ever happened to me is sitting right there on that pew. And we need to be willing to brag on, to exalt, to lift high our God-given gift, who is our spouse. Guys, the people that we work with, they need to know how much we love our wives. We need to brag on our wives privately. We need to brag on our wives publicly. I don't know about you, but I don't like jokes that make little of wives. I don't want you telling one of those in my presence. Either I'll do one of two things. I'll walk off or I'll tell you to hush. Because I believe that our wives are worth exalting and worth bragging on. We have three grown children. A son and two daughters. And with our daughters growing up, we kind of called them our princesses. As a matter of fact, Jenny, our oldest daughter, she took it to the extreme. There's still a thing on her door that was her room that says princess. Carried it all the way through the wedding ceremony. And I had the privilege to walk her down the aisle and give her away and then walk around and finish the ceremony. And when I leaned over to Brian, and when I gave her to Brian, I said, "Brian, you know Jenny has been my little princess, and you better keep treating her like one." But as much as I wanted my girls to know they were princesses, I wanted them to know their mama was a queen. Listen to me, guys. We've been given the privilege to exalt and to brag on our God-given helpmate. And we need to do it. We need to love our wives with an esteeming love. Be thankful to Jesus for everything, which includes our God-given helpmate. So we love them with an esteeming love. Number two, we love them with a rejoicing love. We talked about this yesterday when we had a breakout session with the guys about simply just enjoying loving Jesus and enjoying loving our wives. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you having fun loving Jesus? Which, by the way, that's a question. Are you having fun loving Jesus? Are you having fun loving your wife? It ought to be. It ought to be fun, shouldn't it? Man, this journey is difficult. This journey is hard. But we can find joy in the relationship that God has given us with himself and the relationship he's given us with his spouse. Man, find some ways just to make that woman smile. And do it. I told the guys yesterday that my wife used to love Milky Way candy bars. Playing that little game yesterday, when you asked that question, I looked at Tina and she said, "Milky Way." Yep, that's what I would have said. There was a store, a little country store between our house and town, that sold those babies for 59 cents. And for years, every time I went by, I stopped and got one. We tried to break the addiction and get her off of them right now, but it brought her great joy for me to bring home that Milky Way. Daniel mentioned that we lived in Nevada for a while, and if you live there, it's Nevada, not Nevada. They said, if you're going to live here, you're going to say it right. And I said, well, it's not Colorado. They said, we don't care, it's Nevada. We lived in desert mountains. Desert mountains. We got 9 inches of rain a year. First time it rained was on a Saturday. Went to church on Sunday morning. They were bragging about the good rain. And I said, I don't mean to be disrespectful or ugly, but we have heavier dew than that in Mississippi. But this was July, and it was dry. We've been on the reservation camping and doing VBS with a missionary friend of ours on a small reservation in northeast Nevada. And he's originally from Canada, and he and his family were leaving the campsite, and they were going to Canada to visit family, and they'd asked us to take all the supplies back to his house. And we were going to stay there a couple of days, and then we were going to come home and come back to Mississippi. This is after we had actually moved back to Mississippi. We get back to his house, and I asked Tina, I said, what would you like to do? And she said, I want to take that four-wheeler, and I want to ride to the top of that mountain behind the house where we used to live, that we used to walk up that mountain, and we never got to the top. So I said, okay. It's July, and we're in the desert. I'm on the four-wheeler, and Tina's on the four-wheeler. I'm leading. We get all the way to the top of that mountain. And I spin around and come back down, start back down, and Tina's behind me, and we get to a kind of a flat opening. I slam on the brakes and stop. Tina pulls in behind me, and I turn around and look, and I said, baby, take your sunglasses off. And she pulled her glasses off, and her face was caked with dirt from my four-wheeler about that thick. The only clean spot on her face was where her sunglasses were. Now look, I can remember a day in our marriage when that wouldn't have been funny. But thank God, we sat there, we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed. And every time we think about that, we laugh. Because can I tell you, marriage is hard. But it can bring us great joy if we do it the right way. Find something you can do with your spouse that brings her great joy. For the simple fact that you love her. And you love to see her smile. Love her with a rejoicing love. Rejoice in your God-given helpmate. Number three. Love her with a serving love. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many? Yeah. And can I tell you, Jesus modeled service for us. And guys, we need to be servants to our God-given helpmate. We need to serve the Lord and rejoice in opportunities to serve him. We need to brag on him. We need to serve our wives. We need to rejoice in serving her. And we need to brag on that woman. How are you in serving your wife? What I have found is this. That in most of our lives, our wives are really good at serving. And you know why? Because we've let them practice. We've let them serve us. Find something you can do to serve your wife and do it. I was challenged years ago by a guy named Wellington Boone. Go home and outserve your wife. He says, guys, it's not going to be easy. But I challenge you to go try it. I took that. I took that challenge. And I have tried for the past 15 years. I've tried to serve my wife. And I've tried to outserve my wife. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it almost works me to death. Because she's good at serving. Find something you can do for her. You know, one of the things I've noticed, there's things around the house that we can help doing that's not really complicated. You know, I learned that a vacuum cleaner, most of them's got one button that says off and on. And I don't have a whole lot of rhythm, but I've learned I can do that. I've learned how to, as my dad would say, wash clothes. I was in college before I realized that word didn't have a R in it. My daddy still washes. I learned to drown. Can I tell you? It wouldn't hurt me. It wouldn't hurt you to fold those babies. I hope you know what drawer they go in. I think you could put them in there because I hope you got some clean underwear out today. I mean, stuff like that we can help with. That kind of stuff is not real complicated. And can I tell you? We need to do it because we love her. And we want to serve her. Used to, we had a dishwasher that didn't work. And Tina said, we don't need to get it fixed. We have a dishwasher. And it was me. We were on a trip down in the Baja of Mexico one summer. And we came back home. And we walked in the house. And the old dishwasher was gone. And there was a new one in its place. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. Somebody come and stole the old one and replaced it with a new one. And come to find out that while we were gone, it was Tina's birthday and our anniversary, and our children had bought a new dishwasher and had it put in. You know, I'm thankful for the new dishwasher, and we do use it because I'm gone most of the time now, so we use that baby. But I was a little disappointed because I'm thinking the one thing I've mastered in house cleaning, I'm not needed for anymore. Because I'm not going to do like some people and wash them and then put them in the dishwasher. If the dishwasher can't clean them, I don't need it. But every one of us in this room, as spouses, as husbands, can do something around the house that we hadn't been doing to help our wife out because we love them. That's it. Because Jesus set the example in serving. He came not to be served, but to serve. And he modeled that for us. And I just believe Jesus being in my house, Jesus would be a servant. What about you? So guys, let's get to serving. And what we're saying is, I love you. I love you. I love you. Esteeming love, rejoicing love, serving love. The fourth one. The fourth one is a sacrificing love. Sacrificing love. What did Jesus sacrifice on our behalf? What did Jesus sacrifice on behalf of his bride? He gave his life. Guys, we need to be willing to sacrifice to show that woman how much we love her. Can I tell you that my wife needs to know I give my life for her? Because some things are just worth dying for. Can I tell you if it's really worth living for, it's worth dying for. She knows that. But more than likely, because of the culture in which I live in, I may never be asked to do that. But I will be asked to give up something I want so she can have something she needs. I will be asked to give up something I want to do something she wants to do. And can I tell you, that's sacrificing. And sometimes I don't want to do it. What about you? Come on, let's be honest. Some of you lying. Because we had rather do what we want than to do what she wants. Is that not right? You know, I told the guys yesterday, I love sports. I'm a former coach. I love them all. If it's competitive, I like it. My heart rate will increase watching ping pong. If it's competitive, I love it. I love competition. My daughters told me not long ago, they said, Daddy, you know how you're going to die? I said, no, I don't know how I'm going to die. They said, we do. I said, what are you talking about? They said, you're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack playing our kids in sport because it's going to get a point where they can beat you and you're going to kill yourself trying to beat them. I said, it'd be a great way to die. I love basketball. And can I tell you, it's a season right now starting. I'm going to tell you, I could watch every game of the NCAA tournament and not even feel bad about it. I hadn't been home very much since the second week of January. There's some stuff Tina needs me to do. I got to make a choice. Am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to do what I want? You see, I may never be asked to give my life, but I have been and I will be asked to give up something I want, something I want to do to show her she's more important than that. In marriage, it takes sacrifice. It's just worth it. Is it not? It's worth it. It's worth it. But oftentimes our thinking is so self-centered and so focused on what I want. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to make some sacrifices. I'm going to have to die to self. If I'm going to show her I love her the way the Word says, I'm going to have to die to me and what I want. And the good news about this is, it's not about me mustering up love to do this. It's about the power of God that lives within me, that if I will let Him, will radically change my heart and will love her through me in a sacrificing, serving love. Amen. It's not based on you. It's based on Him. And the last one is this. The fifth one is this. It's a sanctifying love. A sanctifying love. In this passage I read you, it says, so that the church can be presented before the Father as holy and blameless. No rinse, no spot. No spots, no wrinkles. Can I tell you guys? He wants to use me. He wants to use you in the process of our spouses growing in their relationship with Jesus. And can I tell you, that's not just a responsibility. It's the most awesome privilege that we have. Is to lead our families and to lead our wives spiritually. To love her with a sanctifying love. To care about her relationship with the Lord. To care about her spiritual growth. To care about her spiritual maturity. To care about her spiritual needs. And to be actively involved in God using me to minister to her. And I think sometimes we ignore that. Guys, it's time that we become men that are bold and courageous and step out and be the spiritual leaders of our home and lead our wives the way the Word of God says by the power of God that's in us. I don't preach to Tina. She knows a lot more than I do. I had just one friend that talks about how she writes all my sermons. She does. No. I don't preach to her, but I'm going to tell you what we do. We have spiritual conversation. We talk about the things of God. We hold one another accountable to the truth of God's Word. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago now, the Lord showed us a need. It was a pretty substantial need, and the Lord had provided us the means to meet that need. I told Tina about the need and shared it with her, and about 2 days later, I asked her, I said, have you prayed about whether or not we're supposed to meet that need? This is what she said. She said, pray about it. She said, you know what the Word says? She said, I've even heard you preach it. God showed it to us. We wouldn't even have seen it if He hadn't showed it to us. He's provided the means for us to meet it. What you waiting on? I'm thankful for a wife that'll hold me accountable to the truth. Guys, we need to lead in that. We need to have spiritual conversation. We need to lead our wives spiritually. We need to talk about the Word of God together. And we need to lead that with our wives and with our kids, with our families. I need to be the one that's saying, it's time for us to go. It's time for us to go to small group, life group. It's time for us to go to worship service. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to sit down and have a few minutes talking about what God's teaching me and what God's teaching you. Can I tell you, if we'll talk about the things of God and we'll talk about the Word of God, God will use it in the sanctification process in both of our lives. What a privilege. What a great responsibility. Well, what an awesome privilege to be used in the life of my God-given helpmate to help them walk with Jesus. Is that not awesome? I don't believe y'all believe it. Is that not an awesome privilege? Yeah. Guys, let's take it seriously. Man, let's get after it. Let's get after it, man. Let's get in the Word. Let's lead those spiritual conversations. Let's pray with our wife, but let's pray for our wives. Let's pray over our wives. And let's trust God to do more than we ever dreamed or imagined for His honor and for His glory in our marriages. But guys, you know where it needs to start? With me. And with you. Love your wife. She's a precious, precious gift. Love her. Brag on her. Brag on her. Rejoice with her. Go home and outserve her. Be used by God in the sanctification process as we serve Him and serve her and make sacrifices for the cause of Christ and for the cause of our families and our marriages. It's simply worth it. It's worth it. Now let's talk about some ways that a wife is to love her husband. And ladies, you're gonna get off easy. I'm just gonna do two. All right. I'm gonna do two. One. One is a submitting love. Don't turn me off, please. Let me explain to you what that means. Don't turn me off. That's not an ugly word. That is not an ugly word. It wouldn't be in Scripture if it wasn't important. What does it mean? The word submit comes from a word that means simply to place yourself in the proper order or proper rank or God-given position. That's all it means. What does it mean in marriage? It means that we have different responsibilities in marriage. Simply live out your responsibilities empowered by the Spirit of God according to the truth of the Word of God. And ladies, can I tell you, it's for your protection. It's a word of protection. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that a woman is lesser than a man. Nowhere does it teach that. It does say she is the weaker vessel. If you don't believe that, who is it always opens up the pickles? We're different. We're made different. Thank God we're different. I tell Tina all the time, I sure am glad when I wake up in the morning, I don't look over there and see somebody looks just like me. Thank God we're different. Let's embrace the fact that we are different and live out our roles within the family unit. God is a God of order. Look at the church. Look at creation. Look at the family. He simply says, look, this is the man's responsibility. This is yours. Just live it out. Live it out. We're different. I have different responsibilities. I'm made up differently physically. I'm made up differently emotionally than Tina is. I've pastored, I've taught school, I've coached, I've been a school administrator. I told them yesterday, you can't call me something I hadn't been called. You have to come up with a new word. I've been called everything you could imagine. Tina has told me on several occasions, I would be an emotional wreck if I sat through that, what you just went through. Why? Because we're made up differently. I've watched her take our kids and our grandkids when they were sick and sit and lay that baby right here and hold them all day long, caressing them in close to because they felt horrible. I can do that for about 20 minutes and I got to change arms. And she says, you can't do that. I said, I got to. She can, we're made different. And we simply live out our responsibilities. That's what that means. But let me tell you what the kicker is, why women have been so negative about that word. Because we have wanted them to submit to us without our willingness to submit to Jesus. If I will submit to Jesus, and my wife is submitting to Jesus, we'll place ourselves in our God-given roles because we'll realize it's for my family's benefit and protection, and it's for the glory of God. It's not an ugly word. We've made it that way. I can't expect her to submit if I'm not going to. But isn't that what we've done? Yeah. And submission is not forced. Submissions live before. When I finally got serious for Jesus, and Tina finally got serious for Jesus, our relationship radically changed. When we started living out our God-given responsibilities empowered by the Spirit of God that lives within us. All right, one more and I'm sorry. Love Him with a respecting love. With a respecting love. I mentioned this earlier. Ladies, you know that you have a deep need to be loved, right? You have a deep need to be loved. You need to know that your man loves you, right? And you want him to love you unconditionally. Which, by the way, you can't love on your own. That's why we need Jesus. Because man does not have unconditional love. But praise God, Jesus pours it in us. But your man needs to be unconditionally respected. He longs for respect as much as you long for love. Can I tell you the worst thing you can do to your husband? Is cut him down in front of other people. Especially other men. It'll pierce him to the core. Brag on him. Exalt him. Find something he does good and brag on it. I've had women say, we don't do anything good. I bet you that joker can get back in that chair and change channels. Brag on him. Ooh, you're the best channel changer I've ever seen. You know what he'll do? He'll get up out of that chair, go fold his underwear and put them up. Because when you brag on us, there's no telling what we'll do. Because we long to hear you brag on us. Brag on him. Show him that you respect him and honor him. Tina and I got home from another trip, actually the same place. We're in down below San Diego, California, down in the Baja of Mexico. And we got home and there's no food in the house. Just before our kids got married and the two girls had been home and they had cleaned out the refrigerator. There wasn't even a smell of food in the house. I told them, I said, if you'd have been guys, you'd have taken the refrigerator with you. I mean, there was nothing left. So I said, okay, I'll go to the grocery store. I'll go get us some groceries. If you'll make me a list and put it in the order the aisles are on. Have you ever noticed? I don't care where we go. Tina walks in a grocery store. She knows what stuff is. I've lived in Kosciuszko for the last 14 years. I still don't know where stuff is. Huh? She starts making me a list, and she says, I think I'll just go with you. I said, okay, that's fine. And I'm thinking on the inside, I'll be useless. You know? But we go, and we get to the grocery store, and I'm pushing the buggy. And she's throwing stuff in, and we turn the corner. And there's this guy, and I asked him about sharing this, and he said, sure. He's down on his knees. He wasn't praying. He was stocking the bottom shelf. And he looks up. And he looks at Tina, and this is what he says. I see you found something today and brought it with you. Talking about me. Without delay, this is what she said. And what I found was good. I was pushing the buggy. This is, I wanted to get up on the buggy and ride, man. We got home. I said, Tina, I want to thank you for what you said in the grocery store. She said, what did I say? And I said, you know when Mr. David said that I saw you brought something with you today? You found something and brought it with you, talking about me? And you said, yeah, but what I found was good. I need to hear that. Listen to me, ladies. Your man needs to know that you honor him and you respect him. And he needs that as much as you need to be loved. Brag on that dude. Find something he does good and brag on him. And I think you'll be amazed at what he does next. You see, there's some principles laid out in Scripture about this marriage stuff. And about how that through the power of God within us, we're to love one another. Now listen to me, you're here and you don't know Jesus, you can't love this way. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because the instructions he gives here in marriage, he's talking about the power of God in us, flowing through us and loving through us in a way we're incapable of doing on our own. Can I tell you, you're not going to love your wife with a serving love apart from Jesus. You're not going to love her with a sacrificing love apart from Jesus. You're not going to love her with a sanctifying love apart from Jesus. You're not going to enjoy the relationship like you should apart from Jesus. You're not going to brag on the way you should apart from Jesus. And listen to me, ladies. There won't be biblical submission, and there won't be a whole lot of bragging without Jesus. It just won't be. So see, the first step to doing this thing right is Jesus. It's Jesus. Let me say that again. It's Jesus. It's your understanding that you need a relationship with Jesus to do this thing right. And I challenge you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, please come talk to me or come talk to Daniel, because he didn't make this thing difficult. He didn't make it hard. He says, you'll believe what I did for you? If you'll really believe that in your heart and you're willing to confess it with your mouth, I'll change your life. I'll change your life. If you've never done that, I encourage you today to do that and come tell Daniel. Why? To embarrass you? No, so we can celebrate and give you some help. But then as men in this room, as followers of Jesus, how are we in loving our wives? Wives, how are we in loving our husbands? Guys, I want to challenge you. Let's be the spiritual leader of our home. Today would be a great opportunity for you to bring your wife and to bring your kids to the altar and pray over them. I'm tired of hearing of the failures. I want to celebrate some victories. I'm tired of going to church after church after church where the enemy has attacked the family and families are being destroyed because we don't surrender to the power of God in us and we don't believe and live out the truth of his word. It's time for we as the men to become the men God created us to be and lead our family to the throne and the grace of God and allow God to bless our families instead of the enemy destroy our families. It's time. So I say today's a good place to start. I want you to bow with me and pray. Guys, you don't have to wait. You can come on now and start bringing your families to the altar. Bring your spouse to the altar. Lord Jesus, Help us to understand we can't do this on our own. We need Jesus. But praise God for the power of God that lives in us, that's greater than us. But may the world see Jesus in and through our lives and in and through our marriages. May they see the difference that our God makes when we surrender to Him. Maybe today you just need to make a fresh commitment to surrender your family to the Lordship of Jesus. Come on. Come on, guys. Step out and lead your family. Just say, Lord Jesus, here we are. We commit our families to you. We've had our struggles. We're not perfect. But God does mighty things through imperfect people. Lord Jesus, move on our hearts. Somebody's here today who's not saved. You don't know Jesus. Daniel's here. He'd love to counsel with you. Love to talk to you. Those of you that are not married, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Don't be looking for a spouse. Be looking to Jesus and let Him lead you to the spouse. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you radically change us so you can use us to radically change the world. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. May we be the people of God and the families of God you call us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to look at me for just a second, and I'll turn it over to Daniel. Lord, pierced my heart with this a couple years ago, that when people of the world look at us, they shouldn't say, oh, what a sweet couple. What they should say is, oh, what a mighty God. Because they know us, right? They know the mess we make of our lives. They need to see our Jesus. And that's my prayer for you. If when people look at you and they look at your family, they don't see your imperfections. They see the perfection of Jesus. And can I tell you, there's power. There's power. There's power in Jesus when we surrender to Him. Brother Daniel's yours.
Enjoyed the ministry of Wayne Hudson this morning. Would you let him know that? Amen. Is Gina here? Amen. Gina, step up by your man this morning. Amen. If you're here in this altar, let's pray together one more time. Father, I pray, Lord, for us as husbands, Lord, that you'd give us the grace, Lord, to step into the role that you've given us in an even more pronounced way than perhaps we have in the past. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that even now. Guys, take a minute. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your family. Open your mouth out loud and speak blessing over your house today. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift you've given us in our wives. We thank you for the gift you've given us in our children. We thank you that our children are a heritage from the Lord and that the fruit of the womb is His reward. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, like our little Abigail, you place the solitary in families. And, Lord, whether our families are biological or adopted or blended from two marriages that came together, we thank you for the gift of children that you brought into our homes. Father, we lift our families up to you today, and we say that, Lord, we are keenly aware we are no match for the pressures of the world around us. Lord, we're no match for the enemy, the prince of darkness, who rises up to fight our family and our church. But Lord, we thank you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And our testimony is that you have saved us by your grace, and you've sent your Spirit to live in us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we pray today for your blessing. We pray blessing on our spouses today, Lord. We pray, God, for you to strengthen them and uphold them, for you to continue to work in them. We pray, God, that you would bless us as husbands, Lord. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to love in a way that is esteeming, that is sacrificial, that a way that Lord, lifts up and lays down our lives for them, a way that is sanctifying, Lord God. Teach us to do that, Lord. Teach us to love them in a way, Lord, that causes them to know that we are trusting in you for grace and help. Teach us, Lord, how to lead our family. Teach us how to lead our children in such a way that in spite of our imperfections, Lord, they would not remember, Lord, the mistakes we made, but they would remember the grace of God that showered our lives. And they would know and they would look back, and in the flaws of our heart, they would see shining through the presence and the life of Jesus. Lord, we pray for that. We pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, there are many women in this altar today who not only their children, but their grandchildren, Lord. They're having a part in lifting them up and raising them and investing in them. We pray, God, today, not only, Lord, for our families and our children, our immediate family, we pray for legacy, God. We believe that you raised up our marriages and our homes, and you set us in this church to issue forth a godly legacy. We pray, Lord, today for the breaking of... Go on and bear down, church. Come on and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you today for the breaking of generational curses. We pray, Lord, that the curse of divorce would break in our family. Come on and plead the blood, somebody. We pray that the curse of divorce would break in our family. Even if we experience that, we don't want that passed on to them. We break it by the blood of Jesus. We call in the name of Jesus, Lord, an ending to that today, Lord God. And we declare a new legacy of righteousness and godliness and of doing marriage God's way. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare a breaking of curses that have been in our family lines for years. Things like drug addiction and alcoholism and pornography and gambling and adultery and breaking faith. Lord, we stand today and we draw a line by the blood of Jesus and say, no more. It ends with us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, and we'll not walk in cursing anymore. You died for us, Jesus, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the promise of the Spirit by faith. We claim blessing, Lord, today on our family. We call down blessing over the heads of our spouses and our children and our grandchildren, and we pray for a new legacy of godliness to begin. And we claim your promise, Lord, that you remember your mercy to 1,000 generations of those that fear you. And we believe that because we choose today to walk with you, Lord, that our children's 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 children, if you tear, will feel the effect, Lord, of the way that we have turned our hearts towards you. We love you. We bless you. We claim the promises of God that are yes and amen in Jesus over our family. And we do it in the strong, mighty, matchless, all-powerful name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a great hand of praise. Amen. 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 Today, Udell and Eva Jane Hudspeth are celebrating today 67 years of marriage. Amen. Today. Amen. 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 Guys, this is how you do it right here. This is legacy. This is it. This is what we're shooting for. Amen. Amen. That's what we want. That's the goal. Amen. Thank the Lord. I want to remind you, keep in prayer today. Our beloved secretary, Miss Rose Sawyer Grimes, her daughter Sherry went home to be with the Lord this week. She'd been battling cancer for some time and been at home on hospice care. And let's say, when was it, Shay? Wednesday morning? Thursday morning? Thursday. Thursday morning, we got the call and we went over and joined them, and she'd gone on to be with the Lord. And so her memorial service will be on Saturday of this upcoming week. The visitation will be at 10:30, the service at 11. It will be here in our sanctuary here at Forest Hill. And so we invite you to come and support. In the meantime, lift them up in prayer. Pray for their family. Pray for the children. Keep them lifted up to the Lord and encouraged. Amen. We'll be doing that. We'll be having a meal for them after that. So keep them lifted up and in prayer. Amen. I know there are others today, but that's one that's very tender to our hearts. Amen. It wasn't many months ago, Sherry recommitted her life to Jesus, and we baptized her right here in this water. Amen. And we're very thankful. She leaned into that moment very heavily at the end of her journey, that she knew she had peace with God and that Jesus had saved her and that she was going home. And her prayer was, if I'm not going to be physically healed, then I'm just ready to go home and be with you, Lord. And the Lord answered her request. Amen. And so we rejoice in that. Amen. Amen. Well, I know you're ready to get out of here and go enjoy. But you ought to be okay because it's an hour earlier, right? So you're not even hungry yet. Amen. You're not. So it's okay. Amen. I want to speak a word of blessing over us before we go. Remember, ladies, the shower for Aaron and Tommy Nichols this afternoon is at 4. And we have evening service at 6 o'clock. I'll be preaching tonight. Bring your Bible. I'll preach about David tonight. Amen. David and Goliath, come join us tonight. I believe the Lord's given me a word for us tonight as a congregation. If you're facing giants in your life, I want to tell you, your obstacles are no match for your God. Amen. We're going to talk about 5 smooth stones that'll help you take down the giant from God's word tonight. Come and join us. Amen. The kids are going to join us in here at the beginning. There is choir practice for the kids tonight. Here's how it'll work. We'll all join together. We'll stay together for the worship time at the beginning. We'll do music together. When I step up to receive the offering, our kids will be dismissed to go work on their choir songs, and the adults will stay in here with me, and we'll study God's word together. Amen? So that's how it works. Everybody just meet here at 6 o'clock, and we'll go from there. Amen? Amen. Let's receive this benediction from the Lord. Now may the love of God our Heavenly Father, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and may the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us and remain among us throughout this week as a church and as families. In Jesus' name and for His sake, and God's people said, amen. Go in peace. God goes with you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to our podcast at The Hill. We pray that you are blessed by this message. For more information on what's happening at The Hill and to stay connected, visit our website at ForestHillCOG.org, join our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForestHillCOG, or download our app from the iTunes or Google Play Store.